There's been a lot of talk in recent weeks, heck, recent months, maybe even over the last 2 years, about the proposed charter school that wants to get started here in the Florence area. And one of the things that keeps coming up is the funding or financing and how it's going to support the charter school and how it's going to affect Siuslaw School, 97J District. Andy Gris-Kowiak, our superintendent of Siuslaw Schools, is here today. And Andy, can you give me a little background on how the Oregon Department of Education kind of doles out finances in general?
Okay, so charter school funding for sponsored charter schools breaks down really in two ways. First, you have a sponsored charter school by a district. The funds flow from ODE to the district and then are distributed out to the charter school. For students in grades K through 8, the split is 80% to the charter school, 20% to the district. The district holds that 20% in reserve, and it's primarily for administrative functions and services for special ed students. For students that would be in grades 9 through 12, if that charter school were running like a comprehensive high school classes have a higher expenditure because of materials and lab stuff and all that sort of – they tend to be much more expensive to run. And so the split is 95-5. And by that time, most of the special ed services are maintenance and not diagnostic.
Now, when you look at the monies coming in, how does that affect the operations of the current school? There's talk about how they have said, the charter school folks have said, they're not really trying to grab any current Siuslaw students. They're looking at future students or, you know, maybe young ones coming in or maybe people that are homeschooled now. What does that do for the funding for the operations of Siuslaw School?
Well, again, if it's really limited to kind of bringing in homeschool students and virtual charter students, there's enough of that population there to really make it work at the K-8 level. Because I know what students are, the count of students in the Lane ESD registered homeschool group. I know how many virtual students there are living in the area. You know, it starts a little thin. It's usually 5 or 6 grades K-1 and 2, bulks up to the low teens, you know, from there up through about 6th, 7th, 8th grade. Then it tails off going back into high school.
Now, on the special needs aspect, you mentioned that in the earlier grades, there's a lot of diagnostic stuff that's happening there, and that adds for more of the cost
right
there and the separation for that. What does special needs encompass?
Quite a bit of what we do, especially at the K-5 level, is speech therapy. That tends to be very personnel heavy. There's also diagnostic for, again, testing with the school psychologist to find out if students have learning disabilities and what those learning disabilities are. From there, it's the development of specialized learning strategies for the regular classroom.
But I imagine that some students, whether maybe they transfer in or maybe somehow didn't get diagnosed there, there's still some of that going on, though, in high school, is there not?
There is, but that's very, very rare. Most of what's happening at the high school is maintenance level. It's general assistance to work through their IEPs, their individualized education programs.
Now, this has been a long process in coming, and there's been a lot of speed bumps in the way for various different reasons, you know, not holding anyone or any particular group accountable or that. But now it seems like it's time to make some changes, maybe to move forward. What is the next step for the school district as far as what their responsibilities are to see whether or not this goes to the next level?
We'll be setting dates for contract negotiations with the charter school group. They've elected to set dates sometime in mid-May. The charter school group has some other obligations, and they're unavailable from early March through mid-May, so we'll set days after May 13th.
Now, you mentioned that there are some online students, there are some at-home school students, and there's new ones coming up. In the overall budgeting of Sayuso School District, how do you account for new students coming in of that age for the school district? Because I imagine that, you know, they're hoping to gain some young ones that are not in school yet.
Right.
But that will affect the overall population of 97J as far as the school itself, like Sayuso Elementary, Middle.
Right. So, again, we look at this as a function of what we call ADM, Average Daily Membership. And then there's ADMR, ADM Resident. It's like who's in the school on a given day. And that fluctuates on the average through the year of about 17%. We have a fairly high mobility rate. I mean, just last month with some of the new housing opportunities that open up, we picked up 15 kids at the elementary alone. Right. And so in terms of getting to like the charter school's ideal population numbers, it could be a wash. Because again, I know right now, like kindergarten and first grade, there's like 10 kids out there between homeschool programs and virtual charter programs. So they double that to get to their ideal class size. But again, we could pick up 15 kids at spring break and offset that quite easily.
So what is the potential threat or potential opportunity for we had mentioned sometime before that the possibility of maybe losing funding for teachers or assistants because of class size diminishing with that. Is that a danger of something happening, or is it one of those things like, well, we have to wait and see?
To some degree, it's a wait and see. But again, like we budget typically on the average that every 12 kids is the equivalent of one teacher. Every 12 kids is the equivalent of two classified staff. It depends where it hits. If it's equally distributed across all grade levels, we may be able to absorb it. If it's all at the elementary level, we're probably looking at like a staff reduction if we can't find a way to make it work otherwise.
What does it cost annually to operate 97J?
That's about $25 million.
Wow. A lot of money.
It is. Again, but again, we're a tax-based agency, so 85% of our tax revenue goes to staff, salary, benefits. And the other 15 goes into operational expenses.
Don't take this word the wrong way, but how much is each student worth?
Well, currently, ADM value for this year is $10,200. And so everything is based off of that, and then we get additional grant funding for, low poverty, low SES. Additional students get a weighted value for English language learning, special education, other factors along that line.
Can you pull out a file in your mind and remember when you first started, what the cost was per student?
Oh, it was half of that.
Half of that?
Yes.
And how many years ago was that?
If you want to go back to 1994, that number I don't have.
Okay. No, I'm just talking about as superintendent.
As superintendent, it was probably about $6,000 in the, again, 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, the state's been trying to make some catch-ups to where they were prior to, again, the collapse and the 08 bubble. And then also trying to make some increases to get back to what they call the quality ed model, to make sure that every kid in every school, no matter where they are, has the same opportunities.
Do you see a way for the two entities, the charter school and Sayuso school district, to coexist?
Oh, absolutely. Because again, the charter school will be a school of this district, mm-hmm. operating on the same public school, grounds as everybody else.
And I think that the last I talked, I think I talked to Jody O'Meara, and she said they're hoping September 2025 to get started. Is that kind of what you're hearing as well?
Yes, so that's still their initial plan, yes.
All right. And again, the contract negotiations have to be completed before they can move forward, I guess?
Correct, yes. I think what they're waiting on is that they want some – again, they want to know where all their business details are before they go out and hire their head of school.
And I guess that's kind of an important part.
It is. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, we look forward to everything happening. Hopefully everything will be smooth sailing from here on out.
I think it will be, yes.
All right. Well, Andy, thank you so much for getting us in there. And we haven't done our student updates. I thought maybe we'd get that done. Normally we do, like, you know, the kudos for the students.
We've got them. We got them cooked up and planned. We've, again, been a little busy with some other stuff.
Yeah, I hear you.
And, again, yeah, throw another hailstorm, snowstorm at our way, and we're out checking the roads. That's one other little glitch in the matrix.
Well, keep the list, and we'll get you back in here next month, okay. And we'll catch up for the months we missed so far.
All right, and if anybody needs to see our students of the month, they're posted on each school website.
All right, there you go. Thank you so much.
All right, appreciate it.
Next hour, stay tuned. We'll be talking with our representative, Boomer Wright. He's going to talk about the most current legislative session and some of the successes that they've had during this short session.